We'll have plenty of time this morning to fellowship after. We're going to change up the kind of the way that normally we meet. We normally meet and have some singing and praise and then some teaching and things and allow the body to interact and all. But in light of what God has been putting on my heart and what I shared with you last week from Colossians chapter 1, I feel like that having communion, which is what we're going to do first, is a way of honoring the Lord Jesus and putting him in a place of preeminence, okay? So I would like to start by reading from Colossians chapter 1. And I think it's 14th verse? 15th? Well, I'm going to start at the 14th, okay? It's calling an audible, yeah. Bless you guys. Okay. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, that are visible, invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. It's such a powerful word, preeminence. In all things he must be preeminent. After all things were made for him, all things were made by him, and all things are going to be summed up in him. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, everything that Christ has made for him will be returned and summed up in him. So this is what Christianity is about. It's about Jesus more than anything. With that in mind, it was placed on my heart that we would have communion first. And not just to go through it as an activity of the church or a repetitious thing that we do, you know, because we're Christians, but really to honor Jesus and to look at communion as so powerful, so wonderful, so meaningful. And so I'm going to read, and you could look at the scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in the 23rd verse. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord." Isn't that interesting? He received this directly from the Lord, meaning the Lord communicated what he did at that Last Supper directly to Paul. Phenomenal. Yeah, "I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" There are three things that I want to highlight this morning from the activity of partaking in the cup and the body. There was, first of all, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we have to stop and think about that for a minute. What does that really mean? How are we to think about Jesus? So it's not something that we say, "Yeah, okay, I remember Jesus." No, it's deeper than that. Who is this Jesus? What kind of life did he live? Son of God, Son of man, fully God, fully man, tempted at all points as we are, enduring all kinds of hardships, abuses, rejections, pains, yet loving, forgiving, carrying out the Father's will, listening to the Lord, following him all the time, under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling scriptures of the Old Testament, communicating, having to have discourses with the Pharisees, Sadducees, Levites, and whomever would argue with him about who he was, dealing with the temple and the nonsense that went on there, how they had defamed it and turned it into an enterprise instead of a place that he called the house of prayer for all nations, how lovely he was, how much time he spent with his disciples, how he cared for them, how he poured into them, how he spent time with them, how he taught them, how he ate with them, slept with them, walked with them, how many times he was interrupted by people who grabbed him, pulled on him, and he yet ministered to them. He felt power leaving his body at times. How he looked with compassion upon those who were sick and demon-possessed and casting out demons. How he even dealt with the people outside of Jerusalem, the Romans. There were some who really had faith in him, and he loved them. He even told the Roman centurion, nobody's had faith like you. And the Syrophoenician woman, who was not a Jew, you also have great faith. He cast a demon out of his daughter, out of her daughter. There were so many things about him. What a lovely man he was. He grew up like a boy in his father's home. He learned a trade. He worked with his dad. He also went to the feast and went to Jerusalem. And there he would study with the rabbis and he would have discourse with them and he understood scriptures. What kind of person was he? What an amazing person he was. Yet he was tempted out of all points like us and without sin in order that he might remain the spotless Lamb of God. How many things can we think about of Jesus? He endured temptations from the devil, the most amazing temptations, after fasting for 40 days and nights, in order that he might subdue the strong man before he then went in and plundered the strong man's house. That's our Jesus. That's who he is. That's how we remember him. We don't remember him just the night that he was betrayed, when Judas left the table and went out to betray Jesus to the Jews and the Romans. That was just one event. Even then, in that moment, he shared a sop with Jesus. He dipped his bread into the juice and gave it to him to eat. And he said, whatever you have to do, go out and do it quickly. He faced death all by himself. He spent the night in a garden of agony, even asking the Father if it was possible to take the cup from him. He asked a few of his disciples to stay with him just to pray for about an hour. And they fell asleep. And he was all alone. And Satan came to him in his hour and tempted him again that he would leave his responsibility and his goal. But he succeeded. He went to the cross. He was mocked, scourged, abused, hung like a common criminal. And even in the midst of his death, he granted salvation to one of the thieves. Amazing. The second thing that God wants us to remember about him is his death. What is the importance of his death? He knew that it wasn't just limited to the fact that he died for our sins, which is absolutely, absolutely the most beneficial thing we could think of. Because the curse of the law was taken away when he did that. We were no longer under the law for the misdeeds of our lives, past, present, and future. But this is also what we remember. We remember this about his death, that when he died, we died with him. By some mysterious and supernatural powers of God, the Lord took us, all of those who were present from the time of Christ to now, and all of those who will be present in the future. He took all of us spiritually and drew us into him by the Holy Spirit. We were baptized into his death, so that when he died, we died. All of the old man and every element of the old man and the nature of the old man and all of the problems and pains and memories and personality defects and physical defects and you name it, all of our idiosyncrasies and our failures, You took all of that. They were buried with him. All of it. And you know, when we think about that, healing becomes a lot easier. Our past is not so much a problem. These issues that psychiatrists like to bring up about dwelling on our past and trying to figure out what went wrong so we could be in a better place today. Jesus and us went together to the grave and all of that stuff buried there with him. And then we come up in newness of life. When he rose, we rose. When he rose, we rose. When he ascended, we ascended. Far above all principalities and powers. And when he is seated at the right hand of God, we're there with him. And all of the enemies are under his feet, our feet, which is the church, the body of Christ. And all principalities and powers are being subdued now. The strong man has been bound. And we stand upon all of the minions of the enemy, all the demonic powers. They're not above us. We are above them. They might be in the heavens, but we're further above. Hallelujah. We are absolutely forgiven. His righteousness is our righteousness. It's as if we never committed a sin. The slate is clean. There are no memories of our sinful behavior of the past or the present or even of the future before the Father, because the blood is enough. Covers it all. And not only did he strip away the old man, as it's called in Romans 6, but he created in us a newness of life. We come up in newness of life. We are born of the Spirit of God. And here's the third thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We can begin in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. This is a reiteration of what I just shared. When he died, we died. And when he rose, we rose with him. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If you ever want to know what your ministry is, here's part of it. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors now. The very things that we just looked at. The person of Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did. The death of Jesus Christ, what that meant. And now the result of Jesus Christ, what we are now become, new creations in him. Old things, every old thing, every old problem, every old thing has passed away, and all things are becoming new. And all these things are of God, not of man. They are powerful and supernatural and amazing. And this is how we are to live today. And now, because of that, God has made us ambassadors, meaning we represent the Lord and his kingdom to a fallen world, here in the United States and wherever we go. We have the power of the ambassadorship. And you know what? Ambassadors are not subject to the laws of the nation that they're in. They're subject to a higher law. I'm not talking about anarchy or becoming a rebellious people or anything like that. It means that we have a superior law by which we live. And that is what we represent and tell the world about. Who Jesus is, what he died for, how we have become new, and how they can be reconciled to God the Father. This is our ministry. And this table with the wine and the bread, it's all summed up here. When we participate in this, that's the meaning behind it all. I think it's wonderful. And it's a way to give Jesus Christ the preeminence that he deserves. Would you agree? Yes. And so this morning, we are going to take first of this communion table. And it has been our habit that we meet in whatever family groups or friend groups that we would like to, and discuss and share and pray together, and then partake together first of the body and then of the cup. And that all of this would be done to his glory. And for your good and your benefit, today you would be renewed in your heart and your mind over the value and the benefit of just remembering this, because this is where it begins. This is where it's summed up. Without this, Christianity is nothing. God in Christ not imputing our sins to us. What a lovely God we serve. What a powerful God we serve. What an amazing God we serve. Hallelujah. So, as you desire to, come on up and partake of the elements and go back to your seats as family groups. And when you're ready, you can partake as you desire at your own free will. And then after that, we're going to do some praising. Okay? Amen.